August 25th, Sharanidhi Jayadharma.
My most worshipable Diksha Gurudev. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupaya. Astotra Sita Shri Shima. Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shiksha Gurudev. Om Vishnupad, Astotra Sita Shri Shima, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. Are you still there? Achyuta Krishna Prabhu, Vinayak Prabhu? Okay, you're there. Okay, I just heard some beeping.
Sometimes they pick up the phone to use it in Gurudev's house. So you hear like a click.
I offer my obeisances to all of our disciplic succession and all the assembled devotees. So today we're reading from chapter 11, the auspicious chapter 11 of Sri Jayavadharma, which is the 900-page explanation of the verse by Srila Rupa Goswami on pure bhakti, Anyavilasita Sunyam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Namane Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. He's the embodiment of Gaura Shakti, that is Sri Gadadhar Pandit. Or you could say the power of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the embodiment of that transcendental power. And Rupanuga Varayate. He's the topmost follower of Srila Rupa Goswami, as we can tell by this very best 900-page explanation of Srila Rupa Goswami's verse. This chapter 11 is called Nitya Dharma and Idolatry. This chapter will be very important for all devotees who worship deities, either their own deities or the temple's deities. Nitya Dharma means Pada Dharma, Bhagavat Dharma, Vaishnav Dharma, Prem Dharma, and Jaiva Dharma. Yesterday, I promised you that we will discuss what is the relevance to these chapters of Jaiva Dharma and these discussions, inquiries, debates. What relevance are they to our life? So, unless any of you out there call that you have some suggestions, I can give some ideas. Number one, all the people that we come in contact who aren't pure devotees will have these same doubts. The non-devotees will have them, atheists, the innocent, and we want to come up to the level of Madhyama Adhikari, those of us who are not already there, which means we have to deal with all kinds of people, and they will have all kinds of doubts. So, number one, hearing the answers to the challenging questions and the submissive questions helps us in our preaching. We learn how to reply to those who are inquiring, as Chandidas and his wife inquired from Anantadas in Nisringapali several chapters ago, what is material existence? What is this samsara world? That question they might ask, or like you'll find in this chapter 11, you Vaishnavas are worshipping a material form which you call God. This is Satan's creation. It's sinful and it's offensive. It's imagination, and you'll never advance by it. Or, why don't you Vaishnavas worship demigods? Or why don't you Vaishnavas worship the formless God? So many answers are here. More questions and more answers than we can possibly even imagine, Gurudev said. So number one, we can preach to others. Number two, we can preach to ourselves. Because there I am, early in the morning, I'm really tired, I stayed up late last night talking with friends, and now I have to worship the deity. It's time, and oh God, I really don't feel like it. Anyway, it doesn't matter, God is everywhere. So I remember the replies given by Gaurachandra in this Pandit Gaurachandra in this 11th chapter. And then after remembering this chapter, I think, yeah, I better serve the deity, and that will help me. So Gurudev said, not only hearing what I'm saying, but then remembering. If you hear what I say, and then you go and meditate on something material, some prajalpa or something, then what I've said evaporates. But if you hear what I said and then contemplate it, then it goes into your heart. Of course, I'm not Gurudev, so there's really no value in hearing from me. But if you're thinking that this is Gurudev speaking, unless I say something wrong, but you pray to Gurudev and your Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, and the Parampara that you will be there in these words when they are correct, then you can apply that. Knowledge, this is knowledge. What Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving is knowledge. Knowledge is the opposite of ignorance. Ignorance causes sinful activities. Sinful activities causes suffering. One man in ignorance, Prabhupada said, ate too many pakoras one day. One big rich man in Calcutta ate too many pakoras soaked in oil, fried in oil, and he died of cholera. So the ignorance was the cause of his suffering. Whereas knowledge is the cause of freedom from suffering. If we're not contemplating knowledge, what are we contemplating? Ignorance. Then also, when we used to hear from Prabhupada about the subject of demigod worship and Mayavad, we thought, well, what does this have to do with us? We're just Westerners. But now we see that in our society, there are so many Indians, we associate with so many Indians, and Indians without Krishna consciousness generally worship demigods. So we can help them understand. And if they ask, why don't you take prasadam of the demigods? You're so offensive. Then remembering the instructions of, who was it who spoke in chapter 10? Who gave all the nice answers? Vaishnava Das, wasn't it? Then we can remember, no, we're not offensive at all. We're not disrespectful to the demigods at all. The demigods don't even take the food offered by non-devotees. In Bhubaneswar, the devotees take the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. There's two temples, one of Lord Shiva and one of Parvati, or Ambika. And they bring Lord Jagannath's prasadam to them. And the demigods love that. But if some Mayavadi or demon is offering some foodstuffs to the demigod, they're not interested in taking it. They just want prasadam anyway, because they're devotees. So there are so many interesting things to learn. Also, we can see the behavior of these Vaishnavas, how they're answering questions, how they're receiving those who are submissive and surrender to them, and how they're receiving those who are challenging to them. So we can also learn how to behave. And if we see improper behavior in ourselves, we can pray to them, because these pure Vaishnavas have the power to hear our prayers. And we can pray that, please give me your behavior. Another benefit of hearing this knowledge increases our faith. Knowledge increases faith in the Vaishnavas, in the deity, in Nam. And we can defeat our Mayavadi minds. In fact, we learn how to defeat anything that's not pure bhakti. Jnana, Karmadi, Anavritam. Pure bhakti is not covered by these, and it's free from totally material desires. So all these opposition theories, philosophies, are presented to the Vaishnavas, and they reply to them in these chapters. So now, in this chapter, we're going to learn all about the importance of deity worship. First, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. He's so kind to open us up to scenery so that we can imagine some geography, some scene, some river, some hut, and be free from our own material conceptions of reality. Also, another benefit is we have nice things to talk about. What we're hearing from Jagadharma, we can speak about with guests, with new people who we meet, and with friends and relatives. Otherwise, what will we talk about? My goodness, what a beautiful sari you're wearing. Oh, I heard your son was in the hospital. What was wrong with him? And what did the doctor say? And how many stitches did he get? Of course, these things are also concern and affection. But without this higher topic, then that becomes our only conversation. And then we, in our next life, we become a bunch of stitches. So the scene opens up on the west bank of the Bhagirathi River. Bhagirathi means the Ganges River. In Koladweep. Koladweep is where Gurudev's temple is, isn't it? Koladweep is one of the 9 islands of Navadweep. And it's just across the river from Prachin Navadweep, or Old Navadweep, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, where he appeared, and where he performed unlimited activities as a youth. There in Koladweep, there's a village called Kaliya Paharpura. And there, a great devotee lived named Bhungsi Bhadana Thakur. Many of you know Bhungsi Bhadana Thakur. He's a servant of Lord Chaitanya's mother, Sachi Devi, and Vishnu Priya, Lord Chaitanya's consort. And everybody used to call him Bhungsi Bhadana Prabhu. Prabhu means Lord or Master. Why? Because they knew who he really was. What is Bhungsi? Bhungsi means flute. So they knew him as the personification of Krishna's own flute, taking the form of a male. Isn't that interesting? And they knew that he was the recipient of Sri Vishnu Priya Devi's mercy. After Vishnu Priya's disappearance, Bhungsi Bhadana sent her deity to Kuliya, this place in Kuliya, this village. And then, after his disappearance, his descendants continued to worship the deity until, having received Janava Mata's mercy, they moved to Bhaganapura, at which time other priests and pujaris took over the worship of Vishnu Priya's deity of Mahaprabhu in Kuliya. Now, in Kuliya, there is a small settlement, and that settlement is called Chinadanga. And there in Chinadanga, there is a devotee merchant We never find out his name in the chapter, but he wanted to hold a big festival for the pure Vaishnavas. So he paid for and arranged one very big festival, and he invited all the pure Vaishnavas of Mayapur and Godrum, all over Navadvip, the 32 square mile region of Navadvip. So Ananta Das, from a few chapters ago, from the Sringapali, he also came. Gaura Chandra Das Babaji from Modadrumadweep, where Lord Ramchandra had his pastimes, he came. Prem Das Babaji, our main hero of Jiva Dharma, Prem Das Paramahamsa Babaji from Modadrumadweep, from Pradyumna Kunj, and he brought Vaishnava Das, they also came. And many, many other stalwart Vaishnavas. They all wore very brilliant, splendid tilak on their foreheads. The limbs of their body were stamped with the holy names of Gaura and Nityananda. Around their necks were beautiful tulsi beads. Some of them carried malas in their hands. Some of them loudly sang sankirtan. And they were all experiencing transcendental ecstasy from chanting the holy names. They were experiencing the astasattvika bhavs. They were bathed in their own tears, rolling in the dust, hair standing on end. And some of them, while weeping, were calling out, "Oh, Gaura Kishore, when will you give me a vision of your own pastimes in Navadvip?" Thinking of this knowledge and these activities of the devotees in these chapters of Jiva Dharma is thinking of reality. If we're not thinking of reality, we have to be thinking of illusion. And if we just let our minds wander to illusion, then what happens? What is that verse? That Jiva forgot Krishna? Anadir Bahirmukh. How does it start? You see what happens if you don't practice slokas, you forget them.
If you don't practice slokas, did you say?
Hello, are you there? Yeah, if you don't pray to them. Hare Krishna, are you there at the other end? Okay, I just heard a siren. Krishna Buli Se Jeev. I just prayed to the verse and it revealed itself. Krishna, it didn't exactly reveal itself. I'd have to pray a lot more to the verse to have it reveal itself. But at least it let me remember it. Krishna Buli Se Jeev Anadir Bahimukh Tata Atayva Maya Tara Deya Samsaradi Duk. Because we forget Krishna and we're thinking of all Maya things, naturally, Maya is going to give us suffering. Well, why am I suffering anyway? It's because we've got Krishna, and so Maya is giving us various sufferings. That's the only reason. So, these devotees were weeping and praying, "Oh, Gaura Kishore, when will you give me a vision of your eternal pastimes in Navadvip?" There were many women who also lived in that village. They were also devotees. And seeing the ecstatic symptoms of the guests who had arrived, they were astonished and praised their great fortune. Then all the Vaishnavas reached, doing their chanting, dancing. They reached the Natya Mandir, or the Mandir, the hall in front of the deity, where devotees sing and dance, just near the altar.